The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on September 11th, 2011, in Burgas, Bulgaria.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Suyate sacharacharam.
He tu nanena kunteya.
Jagadbi parivartate.
Maya dakshina prakriti.
Suyate sacharacharam.
He tu nanena kunteya.
Jagadvi parivartate. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Purport. It is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all the activities of the material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Will and the background of this material manifestation. But the management is being conducted by material nature. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that of all the living entities in different forms and species, quote, I am the Father, unquote. The Father gives seeds to the womb of the mother for the child, and similarly, the Supreme Lord, by His mere glance, injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature, and they come out in their different forms and species according to their last desires and activities. All these living entities, although born under the glance of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So the Lord is not directly attracted or attached to this material creation. He simply glances over material nature. Material nature is thus activated and everything is created immediately. Because He glances over material nature, there is undoubtedly activity on the part of the Supreme Lord, but He has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. The example is given in the Smriti. When there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person, yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. There is a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, He has nothing to do with this material world, but He creates by His glance and ordains. In summary, material nature without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot do anything. Yet the Supreme Personality is detached from all material activities. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bala Kamala
Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Sajiva Sadhaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, this is really helpful information. To know who's behind everything. To not know what's going on, that could be the great disadvantage. If you don't know what's going on, how you can live in a meaningful way? Like a chicken with its head cut off. But if you actually know what's going on in the world, and you know what's behind the world, making it work, and you live your life in such a way that you're taking advantage of the reality, then you can have a really, really wonderful life. You can feel pretty good every day. If you understand what's going on behind the scenes, why is everything happening the way it's happening? So that's why this verse is a very important thing. To know who is that person who's behind the whole material energy. And understand what is his relationship with the material energy. That is powerful information. We're very fortunate we have this information. This is described by Krishna in chapter 9, text 2. He says, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. He said, this is the topmost knowledge, and at the same time, it's the best kept secret. You have all the secrets in the world. So if you can understand that Krishna is behind everything, you have access to the topmost secret knowledge available anywhere in the universe. Just like somebody who's buying and selling in the stock market. If they have inside information of what's going on in the market, they can make a huge profit. Similarly, one who has inside information of what's going on with the universe, and they act in accordance with that understanding, They have a great advantage over everybody else in the whole world who's in ignorance. Of course, it's not that such enlightened persons take advantage of others. But the fact is, they have the greatest advantage over anybody in this world. Even the most wealthy, famous, powerful people are disadvantaged compared to the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is in the most powerful position. Because he's connected with that person who's empowering everything. He has a direct connection with Krishna. Of course, everyone's connected with Krishna. But their connection is indirect. Through the material nature. It's like a prisoner in the prison. He's connected with the government. But his connection with the government is not very nice. He's in the prison. But one who is connected in the university, his connection is better. Because he's making very nice progress. The prisoner, he's just being punished. So those who don't realize that Krishna is the Supreme, they are still situated within his nature. But they are being punished. Not directly by Krishna. Just like Prabhupada gives the example here of the flower and the aroma. See, I can smell this flower. But I'm not touching the flower. I'm disconnected from the flower even though I'm smelling it. So in the same way, Krishna is connected with his material nature, but not connected with it. So those who are connected with Krishna through his material nature, they don't have direct contact with the Lord. Their direct contact is with the fourfold miseries. Birth, death, old age, and disease. That's their content. And those who are directly connected with Krishna, they experience eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So you have your choice, ladies and gentlemen. Would you prefer eternity, knowledge, and bliss? Or birth, death, old age, and disease? What do you want? Do you want misery? Or do you want ecstasy? They say, oh, give me ecstasy. But let me enjoy my senses also. But that doesn't work. Because sense enjoyment and spiritual ecstasy don't go well together. You have to go one way or the other. If you want darkness, you can't have light. And if you want light, there won't be any darkness. Material sense gratification is darkness. As soon as one comes into the light of Krishna consciousness, and one and truly comes enlightened in Krishna consciousness, then one has no desire for sense gratification. It's seen as a botheration, a waste of time. If you can make advancement towards your eternal identity in the spiritual world, why would you want to waste your time playing around in misery? Once you get a taste for Krishna consciousness, material sense gratification is boring, disgusting, abominable. So people say, but I'm attached to my material sense gratification. I wouldn't want to think that it's abominable. I mean, you know. It's like the pauper, you know, he's very proud of his penny. What is that in Bulgarian money? What penny? Sukinta? So, anyway. You know what I mean. So, he's very attached to that small coin, you see. But the Vaishnava, you see, he has billions and trillions of money, monetary units. He's not a little child. If he sees a penny on the road, he immediately, oh, a penny, he'll pick it up. Oh, a penny. But a wealthy man, he sees a penny, he says, I wouldn't bother bending over to pick it up. He has hundreds of dollars in his wallet, you see. A big wad of $100 bills in his wallet. A penny? Who? I wouldn't bother bending over to pick it up. So for a devotee, material sense gratification is like a dirty penny lying in the street. I wouldn't want to bother picking it up. Golokera prema dhana hari nama sankirtana. You see, this is called dhana, or wealth. Prema dhana, the wealth of love of God. This prema dhana, the supreme opulence, the supreme treasure of Krishna prema, Golokera, has come from Goloka Vrindavan. How did it get here? Who is the import? Who is the importing agent who brought it? Prabhupada explains that is Narad Muni. Narad Muni, he is an import agent. He has brought this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. To us here in this material world. Do you feel grateful to Narada Muni for bringing it? Are you glad that Narada Muni has brought it? Are you glad that Narada Muni has brought it? Are you? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Narada Muni ki jai. So maybe if we show enough appreciation, maybe Narada Muni will come and reveal himself to us.
Може би ако още веднъж покажем колко сме благодарни, Нарада Муни лично може да реши да се появи тук.
He's the original cosmonaut.
Той е изначалният космонавт.
Long before Yuri Gagarin circled the Earth.
Много, много преди Юри Гагарин да обиколи
Земята. He's the original cosmonaut.
Той е изначалният
космонавт. Нарада Муни.
Yeah,
Prabhupada sings a very nice bhajan by Bhaktivedanta Thakur. Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Namine. He travels with a Vina, this stringed instrument, and it's so that that instrument is mystical just by plucking in the string. Chung. Everyone becomes inspired to sing and dance the holy names. One day he stroked on his vina and Lord Shiva became so enlivened. Lord Shiva came up and hugged him, and Lord Shiva was singing and dancing the holy names.
And
when Lord Brahma saw Lord Shiva dancing in ecstasy, he decided he would get into it also. And then when Indra, the king of heaven, saw that Lord Shiva is dancing in ecstasy, Brahmaji is dancing, he got into it also. And then all the demigods were singing and dancing the Sankirtan of Hari. And the whole universe vibrated with the holy name. So this is the great sage Narada Muni. He is so kindly brought us this Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, we can also become liberated. Just as Narada Muni became liberated, we can also become liberated. Narada Muni, he was a pop singer in the heavenly planets. He was singing love songs to all the heavenly damsels. He became like a beetle in the heavenly planets. And he got cursed for his nonsense. He became the son of a Shudra on the earthly planet, his next life. His mother, there was no father, only he lived with his mother in a small hut. But during the rainy season, the sages, they travel. You see, the sages like to travel, but during the rainy season, they stay in one place. So they were staying just near the house of Narada Muni, the little Sudra boy. Just like this little boy here, you see, little boy. So he would go into the forest where the sages were taking prasad and having their discourse. And somehow he would get the remnants from their plates, the Mahaprasad. And in this way, just by getting the Mahaprasad of the Bhakti Vedantas, he became spiritually surcharged. And then his mother died from a snake bite. So he took the opportunity to become a sannyasi. A small boy, he wandered here and there all over the world. And then he became the great Narada Muni, the liberated spaceman. He can travel wherever he wants for preaching Krishna consciousness. He has complete access to any world he wants to. Within no time he can manifest there. He doesn't require to fly on Air Bulgaria. He can show up in Goloka Vrindavan, he can show up in Sofia, London, Brahmaloka, anywhere he wants, he can just come. His mission is to give everyone Krishna consciousness. So we're very indebted to this Narad Muni, the liberated spaceman. So if you will take this chanting process very seriously, regularly chant these names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you regularly chant these names every day, you will have a transformation within your heart. You realize your identity beyond Bulgaria. You are not always a Bulgarian. Only in this lifetime are you a Bulgarian. You're originally a Krishnian. You're a resident of Krishna Loka. But you forgot. And now you're thinking, I am Bulgarian. I am a man. I'm a woman. This is Maya. You have nothing to do with this body. Male body, female body, Bulgarian body. You have nothing to do with it. You're a Krishnian. An eternal resident of Krishna's transcendental abode. And the great sages come to this world to deliver you back to your eternal identity in the spiritual sky. So you need to discipline yourself to become resituated in your original identity. At the present moment, we are so conditioned by this material nature that immediately we think, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a Bulgarian. Immediately we for 1 minute we think, yeah, I'm a spirit soul, and then we come back again to the bodily consciousness. So to become permanently situated in Brahman realization, understanding I'm not the body, requires discipline. This is why we give up illicit sex life, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. You don't need these for good health. Actually, they're bad for your health. The more you indulge in these activities, the more you become sick, and the more you die an untimely, early death. So even from a material point of view, the more you can give up these activities, you'll become healthy, and you'll live a long life. What to speak of the spiritual benefit? Because by practicing these four regulated principles, along with chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you become fully realized in your spiritual identity. you'll actually become perfect. You'll actually realize who you are. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. You become fully, solidly situated in that realization. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Now I know who I am. Now I know the purpose of my existence. Now I can live in perfect harmony with the ultimate truth at every second. And that, my dear ladies and gentlemen, is beautiful. And you can have it. You can live in it at every second. That is called Krishna consciousness. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
How to get free from our karma?
Yeah.
And how not to make a new karma?
Yes, how to get free from our karma and how to not make new karma. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 66. Saradharman paditjaja ma mekang sharanang vraja ahang dvang sarvapape bhyo mokshiyashami ma shuchaha. He says, give up all other duties and just take surrender to me as your only duty. I will deliver you from all of your sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, karma and sinful reactions, they're the same thing. So if you surrender to Krishna, then all your karma, you're free from it. And then if you will follow these principles that I just mentioned, no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling. And you regularly chant the holy names, you won't create any new karma. And be protected. So that's all you have to do. Follow these principles and chant Hare Krishna. And you'll be a liberated soul. We want you to do that. We want you to become liberated. Join the liberated family. Are you chanting Japa Mala regularly? Well, this is a good beginning. You come here, you study, you have a Bhagavad Gita as it is at home?
No.
The first step is you purchase a copy of this Bhagavad Gita and you study it very carefully. That's your first step. Keep coming here, attending the classes, and then read this book very carefully, whole thing, cover to cover. These are the words of the greatest spiritual master in the history, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just by reading His words, He will bless you with the power to get free from your karma. So, you read this Bhagavad Gita very carefully, and then that will give you the inspiration and the empowerment to take up this process seriously. Then our representative here, Nittai Chandra Prabhu, he will guide you how to. And you're in contact with her? You know who she is?
Yes, I know.
Okay.
I'm a representative here.
He will guide you how to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Become completely free from all of your karma. Any other questions? Oh. Are you going? Can you purchase one today? How much?
We can find from Shtanu Prabhu later and give.
Oh, you don't have any right now.
We don't have. We distribute all Bhagavad Gita.
They were all sold out. So they actually just sold out. So they're going to have to get one for you. So as soon as they get one. Okay, next question. Premier Manjari.
This is a question from other woman, but Prema Manjari is asking this. This woman, there are many people who took different things from this woman, like money and different things.
They get money from her?
They borrow.
Oh, they borrow.
So this woman feels some heaviness from this kind of association. So this woman, she doesn't know what to do. If she had to take everything back, or she just had to forget about all these things and continue.
To lend is to lose. When you lend something, you lose it. Tell her that to lend is to lose. If she doesn't mind losing the money, then go ahead and lend it. But now she's crying that she's lost the money, right?
Yes, she doesn't know what she has to do.
Well,
according to the laws of karma, there will be some reaction.
Oh, well, actually, she borrowed money from them in a previous lifetime, and they didn't pay them back. So now, that's also. But in terms of the law of karma, a devotee should never give anything for material sense gratification to anyone. Is this person Krishna conscious? No. Well, then, you know, doesn't her inquiries don't make any. The first thing is she should inquire how to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, what good is her inquiry? It's a waste of time. We're not meant to answer all these psychological questions. We're meant to guide people how to become Krishna conscious. Because if you're Krishna conscious, then all of these things are answered immediately. If you're not Krishna conscious, no matter what you do, you're going to be confused and bewildered in this material world. If she lends the money, she'll lament that she's not getting it back. If she doesn't lend the money, she'll feel guilty that she's being greedy. So if you're not Krishna conscious, you're not going to win. No matter what you do, you're going to be a loser. But if you're Krishna conscious, you will understand this money belongs to Krishna. It should only be used for Krishna conscious purposes. And then your mind is peaceful. Such questions don't make any sense. Tell her, first become Krishna conscious, and then you understand, everything will become clear. Any other questions? Yeah.
Said that if we want to be first class Krishna conscious persons, we have to render first class devotional service to Krishna. What if we are giving the best from ourselves, but still this is not first class service?
Well, then you have to improve it. That's all. If your service is third class, then at least come up to second class. If your service is second class, then you should strive for first class. Any material thing is like a guitar player, for example. He's always trying to improve his guitar playing. Or why guitar? Madanga player. Anyone who plays madanga, they're always trying to become better, get that new beat and get that new but they, you know, make it better and better for Krishna. So what's the difficulty? You don't want to improve your service? Why you don't want to improve your service? Simply, whatever you're doing, always try to make it better. Yeah? If you're stupid, what to do if you're stupid? Well, if you're a stupid fool, try to become less stupid fool. A little bit less stupid, and a little bit less stupid. And as you become less and less stupid, gradually you become a little bit wise. And then you become a little bit more wise. And that day will come when you become completely enlightened sage like Narada Muni. You can do it, Guru Bhakti. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you can become an enlightened sage. Simply you have to always try to improve every day. Okay? Jai. Any other questions? Nityai Chandra.
We shouldn't lend to anyone anything. But at the same time, he heard from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said in some place that if someone asks from Vaishnava something, he has to give him something, at least few paisa, few coins. So how to understand this?
Prabhupada said you have to give money away? How much are you supposed to give away? Give money away to people? Few coins. For beggars. Sometimes a beggar we do them. But just like in Vrindavan, sometimes we give beggar. If they're saintly, we don't give it some bum on the street who's going to go buy some cigarettes. Just like one time a very renowned sadhu in Vrindavan approached me. It was very cold at night. He said, "Can you buy me a blanket?" So I immediately took him to the blanket wala, the blanket shop, and I said, "You pick out whatever blanket you like, I'll buy it for you." So I was very happy to buy that sadhu a blanket. He needed a blanket at night, it was very cold. But just to give money away to people who are going to use it for sense gratification, that's bad karma. If they use your money for sense gratification, you share in their sinful reactions. So sometimes we can help a beggar if they're saintly. Okay? All right, next question. Yes.
How can we be sure that we will go back to the spiritual world after this lifetime?
The way to be sure that you're going to go back to the spiritual world after this lifetime is to have one desire only, and that's to please Guru and Krishna. If you have any other desires, well, you're not going to make it. So just make that your only desire to please Guru and Krishna. And then you're guaranteed to go back. If you have any material desires, Krishna will be very kind. He'll let you take birth again to fulfill them. I really wanted a Mercedes-Benz. I was cultivating Krishna Bhakti, but I had this desire I could be driving a nice, brand new Mercedes down the street. Then Krishna will kindly, "All right, let you come back and have a Mercedes." So you have to have one desire and one desire only, simply to please Guru and Krishna. And then you can be sure that when you leave your body, you're going to wake up with Krishna in the spiritual world. So now you do that. You have no desire except to please Guru and Krishna. Only desire. Okay? Another question? Yes.
Very, very simple question. How can we differentiate between the true teachings and the wrong teachings? Because now there are so many places which you go there and they tell you only we are the real people and everyone else is not real.
So how? Very good question. Thank you. How do you distinguish between the real teaching and the false teachings? Well, the first point is, truth is one. There is a truth. There is an absolute truth. There is such a thing. Some people say there is no absolute truth, it's all relative. But that's not true.
абсолютна истина. Всичко е относително.
There is an absolute truth.
Но това не е истина. Има абсолютна истина.
So how do you find that teacher who's giving you the absolute truth?
Как да намериш учител, личност, която да ти даде тази абсолютна
истина? How do you find that scripture that's giving you the absolute truth?
Как да намериш писания, текстове, които ти дават тази абсолютна истина?
The first requirement is you have desire to find that absolute truth.
Първото условие е, че ти самия трябва да имаш силно желание, за да намериш тази абсолютна истина.
If you're more interested in being cheated, then you will find a cheater who will misguide you.
Ако ти повече се интересуваш от това да бъдеш излъган, тогава ще намериш лъжец, който да те измами.
But if you are sincerely seeking the highest truth,
но ако ти искрено търсиш най-висшето знание, най-висшата истина,
Krishna within your heart will bring you into contact with a bona fide spiritual master who will give you, enlighten you in the highest truth. So the real answer is your sincerity. You have to desire to realize the highest truth. Then God within you, He will guide you to the right place where you'll get it. That's one test. The other test is this. Krishna is the supreme authority. Bhagavad Gita is the highest truth. So any, and that's confirmed by all the great sages. This is described in chapter 10, texts 12 and 13 of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is speaking to Krishna. Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramang Bhavam, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adivedam, Jang Vibhum. Ahu, Ahu, Yash, Ahu, let's see, what is it? Ahu, huh?
Ahu, Yas, Rishaya Sarve.
Ahu,
Yas,
Ahu, Yas,
Sarve.
Devarshya Naradastata Asita Devala Vyasa Svayam Chaiva Varishime. Krishna is being told by Arjuna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the ultimate abode.
Arjuna
You're the highest truth. You're the original, eternal, transcendental person. You are the unborn, you are the greatest. He says all the great sages have confirmed this truth about you. The liberated spaceman Narada Muni has confirmed. Srila Vyasadeva has confirmed. Asita, Devala, all the great sages have confirmed this truth. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Arjuna says, and now, my Lord, you're revealing it to me also here on this battlefield. Do you have a copy of the Bhagavad Gita?
No.
No, we need to get... You have to have Bhagavad Gitas here. They're sold out in Bulgarian. He has as it is?
He has other edition, not as it is.
Oh, that's the problem. You need to get Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Yeah.
We need to get these books available. But actually, we have Bhagavatam. You can read the Bhagavatam. Hold up the Bhagavatam, Devi. Yeah, there's Bhagavatam. We have some other books that have the same teaching. You get some, at least one of our, you can do the same thing, ma'am. You can get one of these hardbound Bhagavatams. That will give you the same knowledge. So by studying these teachings coming from a, yes, see? See that book? That's the one we recommend, that blue one. That will give you the same knowledge as the Gita. That's called Bhagavatam. So if you study this knowledge from coming from a great realized spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, you will get knowledge awakened from within your heart. We don't want you to blindly take this. By following this process, you will get your own personal realization within your heart. You realize in your own heart that this is the highest truth. And then you're not being cheated. Because you realize it within your own heart. So, does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. So, any other questions? Yes. Good boy. Is it like yogi? Yeah, very good. Yeah. Okay, what's the question?
In the morning you were speaking about the motivation.
Motivation?
Yes, okay. You were speaking in the lecture. So he is asking, sometimes we are doing different spiritual activities with the motivation, I know this is good for my spiritual life. It's not with the motivation, it's good for Krishna, but it's for me. It's good for my spiritual advancement. Is this a good motivation?
To engage in pure devotional service is good for you. That's all right.
Okay.
Krishna consciousness is your highest self-interest. It's okay to work for yourself. But do it properly. The fact is, the best service you can do to yourself is become Krishna conscious. The very best service that you can render to yourself is to surrender to Krishna. So, we want you to do the best service to yourself by surrendering to Krishna. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah.
It's a very practical question because he has many children, like four sons. Four sons.
Oh, very good.
No. So he's saying when they were small, they were naturally very enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. But now they are getting bigger.
Teenagers?
Yeah, like teenagers. So they are slowly. slowly they start to show up their own individuality. So it's not always connected with Krishna consciousness. So his question is, to what extent he has to be hard with them to push them to practice Krishna consciousness?
Well, to what extent do you discipline teenagers to try to force them to practice Krishna consciousness? As much as you can get away with. Which isn't much. The real thing is you have to become a pure devotee. So they're inspired by your example. When they're small children, you can force them, but once they're teenagers, you can't force them. You have to show a very good example. Like this boy, I'm forcing him, he's a little kid. Let him sit like a yogi. Don't hold him in the lap. He needs to grow up. He's not a baby anymore. He should sit like a yogi. Don't let him lay around and do all this weird stuff. He should sit like a yogi. See, I can force him, and he doesn't mind. He feels happy I'm paying attention to him, you see. He's a teenager, and I do that, if he can really Kelly storm out of the room in an angry fit. So while he's a little boy, I say, you must sit like a yogi. You sit with a straight back.
You see?
Sit nicely like a yogi. And hear nicely. You see? So when they're small, you have to train them to be very obedient. They don't dare disobey you. And once they're teenagers, you have to just be friends with them to where they want to take instructions from you. That's, the trouble is that all their peers are telling them, their teenage friends, they all talk against the parents. Amongst teenagers, it's considered cool to be disobedient to your parents. They have to respect you as the greatest authority they know. To where they want to follow your instructions, they desire to do them. You have to deal them in such a merciful and at the same time strong way that they're inspired to follow you. Bhagavad Gita 3:21. Yad yad acharati shrestas tattare vetsaro jana se yad pramanam kurute lokas tadana vartate. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow him in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Whatever a great man does, his teenage sons follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, his teenage sons follow. You have to become a powerful Vaishnava, Prabhu. You have to develop the qualities of an acharya. I'm not joking, I'm serious. You have to develop the qualities of an acharya, so those boys will be very inspired by, oh, my father is so great. He's the greatest man I've ever met. I must follow him. This way you must inspire them. You can't force, but you can inspire them, just like these cartels here, you see. Can I push with this cord? No. I try to push the cartels, nothing happens. Everybody can see. I'm trying to push them and nothing happens. They don't go anywhere. They don't follow my pushing at all. When I pull them, immediately they follow. So don't push your sons. You pull them by Vaishnava qualities. That way they'll follow you. These little ones we can push. Why are you not sitting like a yogi? Sit like a yogi.
Yeah.
You see, I can push him, and he, but a teenager would never do them. You see.
качести на ангелите места.
Yes.
On the same note, can we take advice from other more, perhaps more successful fathers that have attained some relationship with their sons? Is that also?
Yes. He's asking, can we take advice from other fathers? Yeah, of course. Well, I've seen practically, like, I have one of my disciples, he's raising a son. And the secret is you engage those boys in doing devotional service along with you. That's the secret.
И тайната е, че ние трябва да ангажираме тези деца да правим заедно предано служение.
A small child will naturally like to be with his parents. A small child.
Едно малко детенце по естествен начин то винаги обича да бъде с родителите.
For a little boy, the father is a great hero.
За малкото детенце бащата е неговия голям герой.
So you should always, as when they're small, you keep those children with you and you do bhakti and they do bhakti with you. Whatever you do, you're always doing bhakti and they're doing it with you. Your bhakti team. You're always doing bhakti together. That creates a very strong bhakti bond between the father and the sons. You have to create a bhakti bond when they're small, not where they'll always be with you through the whole life. They'll always follow you. Now, if you didn't do that, maybe you weren't even a devotee when, I don't know before, but now it's, you do the best you can, that's all you can do. Do we have any role models here in Bulgaria of fathers whose children are very Krishna conscious? Kripa Siddha is a pretty good example. Kripa Siddha is pretty good. Huh? Narada Muni's son? Huh? Not so fixed up, yeah. Not. Huh? Louder, please.
Yeah.
That's a good example. They've taken him to Mayapur, they go to the Gurukula then. Yes.
Can we take example from Mahatma Gandhi?
Mahatma Gandhi, can we take example from Mahatma Gandhi? Prabhupada, in some ways yes, and in some ways no. Srila Prabhupada was, before he became a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, was a follower of Gandhi. On the social economic level, Gandhi had a lot of really good ideas. He saw how the British were destroying India. By luring the villagers into the city to work in the factories. So he was in favor of the going back to the villages. And not being dependent on heavy industry. But unfortunately, his followers are then took over India after he was killed, they went just the opposite direction. They industrialized India like anything. They weren't so pure as Gandhi. They're very interested in money and power. On the spiritual level, Gandhi wasn't fully there. He didn't believe that Krishna was a real person. He took the Bhagavad Gita as mythology. So on the material level, in terms of getting back to a more natural village lifestyle, Gandhi was very good. But in terms of spiritual philosophy, he wasn't properly situated. His whole thing was get rid of the British, get rid of the British. But that's bodily consciousness. The spirit soul is neither British nor Indian. His whole movement was to get rid of the British, but that's bodily consciousness. After he drove the British out of India, Prabhupada wrote him a letter and advised him, now you should preach Bhagavad Gita. But he probably never saw that letter because he had so many volumes of correspondence. Prabhupada actually warned him that if you that something may happen to you, you should do this now. And he did. He was assassinated. By a Hindu who was disturbed, he was making too many concessions to the Muslims. Gandhi, he was angry that Gandhi was giving too much to the Muslims. So his movement was a failure in many ways. He wanted Hindu-Muslim unity. And that did not happen. India was divided out. That was one country. Now Pakistan and Bangladesh, that was all India. That was chopped off of India. India was reduced by a huge amount. In many ways, Gandhi was a failure. In many, even though the British were exploiting the Indian people, still in many ways life was better under British rule than after they left. The first time they were holding the elections in India, some villagers said, if we vote for the British, will they come back? So India has not, they have suffered in many ways after independence. Especially this Hindu-Muslim rivalry has become just horrible. That was not going on very much during British rule. Very minor thing. But now it's become a major, major problem. Recently, the Muslim terrorist, did an explosion at the Supreme Court in Delhi, killing so many people just a few days ago. So Gandhi's idea of Hindu-Muslim unity was not on the spiritual platform. That's why it failed. It is said that Gandhi is a saint. The governor of Bengal, he said that Gandhi is a saint amongst the politicians. And he's a saint amongst the politicians and a politician amongst the saints. So if you take all the politicians, then Gandhi looks like a saint. But if you consider all the sadhus of India, then Gandhi just looks like a politician. So we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness You have one? All right, this is the last one. Sit nicely. Yes.
Question is, if unintentionally we offended some Kanishta Vaishnava.
If unintentionally we offended?
Yeah, we don't know that we offended, but we...
Oh, without knowing it.
Yeah, some devotee. So what we have to do in this regard?
So how do you know if you did it or not?
We don't feel that we offended someone, but they feel offended.
Well, it's very easy, Prabhu.
No, просто.
You just say, if I have offended you, please forgive me. You're not admitting your guilt, but you're saying, if I offended you, then please forgive me. The word if is a very good word to use. You're not admitting guilt, but you're saying, well, if Krishna can see that I offended you, I don't think I did, but if I did, you don't say all that, but you say, if I offended you, Prabhu, please forgive me. Okay, so we thank you all very much. Please take this process very seriously. Make your life perfect. You were not meant to suffer in this material existence. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now we're having a special program. Anybody who takes a book today, I will give you a signed blessing in your book. The book table is right there. And I'm right here and I have a pen.